Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Wade Smith in for J-Lo. It is part one of the Texans position series. No position has gotten more attention this offseason than the wide receiver position. John McClain's going to join us for part one, but before we do, here was Deshaun Watson yesterday on the What's in Your Glass podcast talking about his excitement for the season, and he addressed the previously mentioned position.
I'm really looking forward to, man, just going out there and really just changing the game, taking my game to another level, especially with the new additions. I definitely was hurt when, you know, we let Hop go. That's my brother. That's my dog. That's part of the business, something that I couldn't control. But we got some new additions with Cooks, Cobb. You know, we got Kenny. We got David Johnson. So I'm real excited with some veteran, you know, teammates that played a lot of football and ready to just get out there and just turn it up.
All right, John McClain joining us, presented by Horn Solutions. I'm going to start you off with the question of the day on the wide receiver side of things in the position series here on In the Loop. Is this year's wide receiver group better than the one last year that had DeAndre Hopkins on the top of it?
If they stay healthy, yes. DeAndre Hopkins, where they're going to mess up the most is on third down, getting first downs. He had 68, I believe. That was third in the league. He had 17 catches of 20-plus. That's the same thing Randall Cobb had for the Cowboys. I keep hearing people talk about Randall Cobb being washed up. Last year, he had a career-high 15.1-yard average. He had 17 catches of 20-plus yards. He had 41 first downs. Brandon Cooks has missed two games in 5 years, both last season with concussions, and maybe he has concussion issues here, but he still only missed two games. But he had a career low, 42 catches and 583 yards. But in 2018, when he helped the Rams go to the Super Bowl, he had 80 for 1204 yards, 15.1 average, and he had 26 catches of 20-plus yards.
Damn.
And the thing is, there's no team in the league that can put three established receivers, Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller, and Kenny Stills, on the field, who all ran in the 4.3s at their combine. We're not talking about some guy that catches five passes. We're talking about three guys that caught at least 40 passes last year, with all of them missing at least three games because of injuries.
John, Landry and I disagree on this particular issue, but I want to ask you, you could be the tiebreaker for us. Will Fuller, is he the number one receiver on this roster?
If everybody's healthy, he will be, but I think if Cooks is healthy and Fuller, who missed 11 games, he's missed 14 games the last 2 years. Will, even despite missing those games last year, he had career highs with 49 catches and 670 yards, 26 for first downs. And when he's on the field, they average almost 6 points more a game. And since he has a rapport with Watson, I'd say yes. But if Cooks does not have injury issues and plays anywhere near where he did 2018, having those two guys outside who can go deep at any time, that is going to be incredible weapons for Watson. And I could see Cooks surpassing Fuller. And if Fuller gets hurt, remember, he's never played 16 games. He played 14 as a rookie in 2016, but he's in the last year of his contract. If he misses any more games and Cooks is healthy, Cooks will go by him like the coyote and the roadrunner.
Beat, beat, mofo. Take that, Wade. Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks.
Hold on, don't take nothing now. He agreed with both of us. He basically ran through both of our points, but we can rock with it. Go ahead, Landry.
Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks at the top. So we agree with that. This is the In the Loop position series with Landry Locker and Wade Smith, starting with the receivers. What about the man in the slot, Randall Cobb? Bill O'Brien really hasn't had very good slot receivers. A lot of people, including myself, raised our eyebrows when we saw the money that Randall Cobb got from the Houston Texans. Where does Randall Cobb fit into this whole thing if we assume that the top two guys are going to be Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks?
He'll be an inside receiver. He's coming off his best season, average per catch, 15.1 yards. He produced 41 first downs. That dwarfs any returning receiver for the Texans, way behind Hopps, 68. But Cobb, he also had playing as not the main weapon, Amari Cooper was, had 17 catches of 20-plus yards. That's better than anybody else on this team was able to do last year. Now, 2 years ago, Cooks had 26 catches of 20-plus yards. And I think it was Pro Football Focus 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago had Watson as the second most effective deep passer, throws 20-plus in the league, and that's missing Fuller as much as he did. So I think with Cobb in the slot, think if they put Steels, Cobb, Cooks, and Fuller on the field at the same time. Mm. That's going to cause a lot of problems. And then you got two running backs who are great receivers too.
We got them. We're going to get to the running backs a little later on in the week. Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for John Lopez, Texans position series wide receiver edition. Now, I got to ask you this. So we're three through the top three receivers. We've got Fuller, we've got Cooks, and we got Randall Cobb. Assuming that these guys are healthy, and that's a hell of an assumption, does Will Fuller have a significant advantage on the other two because he does have that familiarity with Deshaun Watson with the limited practice time?
He certainly does. Even if they've been able to work out like normal circumstances, he'd still have the best relationship with Fuller because of that familiarity. Now, that could change at some point during the season. And don't rule out Kenny Stills. You know, Stills last year, he beat the Titans in Tennessee with two touchdown catches. He ended up 40 catches, 561 yards. And so he fits in there as well. Their top four is set. And then you think, well, where does Kiki Kuki and DeAndre Carter fit in? And Isaiah Coulter, the rookie, you know, they're going to have some tough decisions to make it wide receiver. But I think right off the bat, if Fuller can get through training camp healthy, he will be the man to start off the season.
Sticking with Kenny Stills, like, to me, he was the guy last year that even though he missed a few games, he was one of the most dependable guys. To me, he was the most dependable guy at the receiver position besides DeAndre Hopkins. Where does he fit in this offense this year when, you know, more times than not, teams don't run four wide receiver sets out there? They want to have a tight end in the game. They want to be able to run the ball. Like, Kenny Stills, is he going to be a guy that's only going to be playing 35% of the snaps? Like, to me, he's such a talented player and he's such a productive guy. You need to try to figure out a way to get him on this field as much as possible.
Well, he's also really smart. That's one reason. When a quarterback has receivers who are smart and understand what they're supposed to do, the quarterback can count on them. If a quarterback's got a receiver and he reads the coverage and he's supposed to break outside and a quarterback sees it and he's throwing it outside because that's the way the receiver's supposed to break and oops, he decides to go inside, it's an interception or an incompletion. And Stills, because he's smart and understands the game so well, Watson knows he can rely on him. But he's going to have a lot of confidence in Randall Cobb. Cobb's played with Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott, had a good season with Dak Prescott, had some really good seasons with Aaron Rodgers, and I think he's going to fit in. And then remember, you know, in a lot of situations, Darren Fells is the go-to guy, especially when they get inside the 10. And then Jordan Akins made a lot of improvement last year in his second season. This being the third could make any even more. I wrote a column last week. I said they're going to have one problem if the players are healthy, only one football, and it's up to Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly to figure it out.
Talking about the Texans wide receivers, part one of the In the Loop position series. Tight ends tomorrow. That'll get very interesting. You mentioned Kenny Stills, Wade, how much Deshaun trusted him. I mean, should have been the biggest player of the year week one against the Saints, under a minute left. I think they'd been teammates for a week. Then the two touchdowns John McClain mentioned against Tennessee, and he set the tone in that 24-0 lead against the Chiefs the final week of the year. What about the fifth wide receiver battle? Does Kiki QT have a puncher's chance against DeAndre Carter? Because we know what QT did his rookie year, 2 12-catch games, kind of had trouble staying on the field, kind of in the doghouse last year. We know they like DeAndre Carter. Does Kiki QT have a puncher's chance at winning that fifth spot and being the backup to Randall Cobb in the slot?
Landry's got a chance. It depends on, you can't afford to get hurt. Now, you're not going to play 4 preseason games. They're going to play 2. Maybe they're going to play none. But if you get hurt at wide receiver, you fall behind. If you get hurt at tight end, you fall behind. DeAndre Carter, if he is the return guy, he's got to be on the team. You know, you can't get rid of him unless you find another return guy. They're always looking because Carter's nothing special as a return guy. He had that bad fumble in the playoff loss, which is the first time he'd screwed up all year. But that gives him an advantage over QT. But he's never done anything as a receiver like QT did in those 2 games against Indy as a rookie, one being a playoff game. And they like QT, but you can't get hurt right off the bat. You can't tweet what your injury is in the dressing room because you're mad because fans are calling you injury prone, because that gets you in Bill O'Brien's doghouse. So he is going to have to come out of the gates strong. He has to do that. The offseason program on the field would have helped him tremendously, but the advantage he has, it's his 3rd year. He knows the system. He knows Watson, and there's a good chance he could be the backup slot receiver.
Yeah, I saw. I mean, Carter did fumble against the Falcons when they had a 16-point lead, and then he didn't catch the ball. O'Brien kind of called him out against the Colts when the ball bounced on the 1-2. Could we see QT maybe get a chance? I know he got hurt doing it in preseason last year, but that was when you expected him to be the 3rd receiver. Now that he's kind of on the outside looking in, could we see him get a chance to maybe shine in the return game and return kicks and punts better than DeAndre Carter and become that return guy and get on the squad?
Why not? When he was at Texas Tech, he was an outstanding kickoff returner, not a punt returner. You don't make punt returners in the NFL. That's the toughest thing. You don't take a guy and say, okay, you've never returned punts, go back there. The best punt returner is Will Fuller. We saw that early in his career. So if they wanted their best return guys, they put QT on kickoffs, Fuller on punts. But oops, those guys get hurt a lot. You can't expose them to more risk. So I don't know what they're going to be on the return game. The truth is, kickoff returners now are almost obsolete because of the way they kick the ball and go for hang time. And punt returners, if you can average 10 yards on a punt return, considering directional punting and hang time, it's hard to do that. So they're not as in demand. What you don't want is a guy who's going to fumble or who's going to let the ball hit and roll to the 1-yard line.
John, we're talking about the Texans position series here with wide receivers. And listen, are the Texans receiver group the deepest receiving group in the NFL right now?
Wade, I have not looked at all the others, but talking about the top 4, and all of them are established in their career, how many teams have 4 who are established? They may say, oh, well, this guy's been in the league for 5 years, but he might not ever had 30 catches and be a really good special teams player. We're talking about Stills right now as the 4th receiver, and he's good. So right off the top of my head, I would say no. I might look to the Chiefs to see who they have. They've got Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman. I'm not sure who the 4th one is. They might have 4 too, but I don't know anybody that's got more than 4. Wouldn't make sense. Why would you have 5 good ones when you need players at other positions?
The In the Loop position series with John McClain, Wade Smith, Landry Locker here on In the Loop. The guys on the outside looking in, you got Steven Mitchell, Isaiah Coulter, the late round draft pick this year, and then Tyler Simmons from Georgia, who they actually gave a decent signing bonus to. Which of those guys do we need to look out for as potentially making some noise? And how much more difficult is it for them knowing that there's no preseason games? Those are usually the guys that kind of benefit from preseason.
And the offseason program, which they don't have on the field either. I asked Duke Johnson, I said, what would it have been like your rookie year if you had not gotten on-field coaching in your first season in preseason and training camp and during OTAs? He used the word tragic.
Tragic.
So if he thinks it's tragic, then these guys are facing tragic situations. You know, if Simmons can return kicks, that would be good if he could make the team that way. They're not going to do anything with Coulter. At worst, he's going to be on a practice squad because he's 6'2". He's got size. He's got speed. Problem is he's from a small school, and he's had no on-field coaching and off-season program, so I look for him on the practice squad.
There we go. There's part one of the position series with the great John McClain, the wide receivers. We'll do the corners at noon. Tomorrow at 11, we'll look at the tight ends. There's going to be some interesting talking points there. Speaking of the wide receivers, as we get world famous, I need you to hold that leg, John. Don't hike it too quick. I think I know where this is going. Could Antonio Brown end up in Houston? Hold that leg, John. World famous leg hiking next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, world famous McClain leg hiking. Wade Smith in for John Lopez. Texans position series continues at noon with the corners. We're going to start it off. I think I know where this is going. Internet was going nuts over the weekend. Antonio Brown to the Houston Texans in 2020, John McClain, a possibility.
Wade, you might want to get out of the way, please. Figgy, let's hit him big time.
As long as that's not on me, that just make sure you aim
well,
that right at Landry.
Out of the way.
Yeah, I moved out the way, man.
First of all, I'll say this about Antonio Brown. Mike Tomlin didn't want him. John Gruden didn't want him. And Bill Belichick didn't want him. And all of them have won Super Bowls. What is the one thing that Bill O'Brien constantly talks about players he likes? Good teammate. Who is the epitome of a bad teammate? Rips his organization, rips his quarterback, rips everybody, has issues off the field with women, with others, is facing multiple suspensions if he comes back. Would Antonio Brown be coming here? No.
But he made Thriller. I mean, but he had six straight 100 catch seasons.
So?
Hey, John, though, one thing that you're not taking into account is all of those other organizations that he left from, none of them had Jack Easterby, man. What about that? You got Jack Easterby. He's the guy that's supposed to take the bad seed and make them into a beautiful flower. Why can't Jack Easterby
be the reasons? One of the reasons they have Easterby is because Easterby talks to these guys like Brandon Cooks, who's an upstanding citizen, and recommends that they sign him because they know what they're getting. It's amazing to me that people just want to throw all scruples and morals out the window for a player who I can't remember a bigger cancer in a locker room. Bob McNair used to tell me, because he would tell Rick Smith and he told Charlie Kessler, there's certain guys that they got to take off the list. And he said, the reason is when everything's going great, he said, everybody's happy. But when you start to struggle and everybody's supposed to rally, me first guys will be the first to point fingers and become cancers in the locker room. And they don't want guys like that when Bob was alive, and they don't want him now that he's not, I don't think. But there's, and then they'd have to cut somebody for Antonio Brown, not even a guarantee that he'd be here. But no, there's been him rumored to, let's see, Seattle, Baltimore, Houston. There's one other team, and I can't remember.
Patriots. I heard Patriots even.
No, I didn't. Oh, Tampa. Everybody claims that Brady wants him. Bruce Arians has made it clear twice. He ain't coming to Tampa. And he also has to be cleared by Goodell because he's got issues with women. He's got issues for assault on a guy. And so he's got a lot of problems got to be cleared up before a team can sign him.
John, I'm going to take you away from locker room cancers and take you instead to a guy that is the franchise, face of the franchise, in Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson will sign an extension for more than 6 years with the Houston Texans.
Nope. Wait, I hate to do it, but Heike, his agent wants a three-year extension. I'm sure they'd like to have a five. I'm guessing they'll compromise with a four. Now, if you count these 2 years that he's got left, it'll probably end up being a six-year deal, averaging $40 million a year, and it also depends on how it's paid out. And I want to make something clear. I think Mahomes' contract is great for Mahomes because he's going to make a record amount of money no matter how long he plays, but I think it's even greater for a team to have your greatest player tied up for 12 years.
World-famous McLean leg hiking here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610, presented by Horn Solutions. Speaking of Pat Mahomes, during these discussions that led to the 10-year deal, Pat Mahomes, Eric Bieniemy, and Andy Reid all laid out a path to Bieniemy replacing Andy Reid when he retires. Those conversations were had.
Are you saying that I don't have any idea? No, I think Eric Bieniemy's gone. He'll be a head coach next year.
Okay.
Hike it.
That would be a hike.
I talked to Andy Reid at the Combine last year. He asked me how much longer I was going to do this, and I said 4 or 5 more years. He said, I asked him how long he's going to do it. He said, as long as they'll have me.
Oh, okay, well, there was that.
Okay, I got one for you, John. We'll stick with the Pat Mahomes deal and the Kansas City Chiefs. Pat Mahomes, over his entire contract, will win at least 3 Super Bowls.
I agree with that. I think the fact that they got 20 of 22 starters back, their receivers, they got a great offensive coach. Andy Reid got that gate clock management issue off his shoulders. And now Andy, who's respected, beloved by everybody. You know, the problem is they should repeat. They got the most talent. You know, there's not – I don't think another great team out there. I don't think the Ravens are great, not after the way they lost in the playoffs 2 years in a row, but the Chiefs, no team has repeated since Ted Johnson's New England Patriots in 01 and 02. And there's got to be a reason for that. But, man, the Chiefs got to be the favorite.
Hey, guys, Teddy J here.
Astros schedule came out yesterday. I said this to start the show, John. If you've been living in this sportless world like we have, and we're over 250 days removed from the Astros losing in the World Series, we're 103 days removed from when opening day was supposed to happen. If when this Astros schedule came out, you were complaining about late start times, you suck as a sports fan.
Oh, I agree. I think that's ridiculous. I'm so happy to have baseball back. I don't care if they're playing at midnight. And I think a short season helps the Astros. I'd love to see the Astros win and see how many people accused them of cheating. Like, who was the Nationals player? Was it Suzuki that said, oh, he knew for a fact they were cheating last year? Well, how does he know? Rob Manfred's investigation said they were in 17, were a little in 18, but were not last year. Found no evidence of that. So I want the Astros to win and stick it up everybody's butt. And I think they'll win at least 40 games in the short season. We'll keep old pitchers like Verlander and Greinke fresh for September and October.
You mentioned Rob Manfred. Will Rob Manfred be the commissioner of Major League Baseball 9 months from now?
I believe he will. They've got a new collective bargaining agreement to hammer out. And if it's anything like this one, it's going to be contentious. It could cause a strike. But the bottom line is you don't get rid of a commissioner while you're doing a new CBA extension.
Taking it away from sports here on World Famous McLean Leg Hiking. Carol Baskin killed her husband, whacked him. Did Carol Baskin killed her husband?
We lose John?
He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know who Carol Baskin is. You think McLean's seen Tiger King?
He had to. Everybody's seen Tiger King, right?
I don't know.
I mean,
he ain't got Netflix.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't have Netflix. He barely has a TV over 25 inches.
That's tough, man. You got to have, these days in the middle of a pandemic, when you got stay-at-home orders and stuff, you got to have Netflix. You got to have something. Peacock, Netflix, YouTube TV, something to where you can, Amazon Prime. There's so many different options these days. You got to pick up one of those live streaming services and utilize them to the fullest.
You think that might have been McLean's way of telling me to stick to sports?
It might have been. I was about to hit him with a non-stick to sports topic, but he's gone.
It's all good. John McLean, presented by Horn Solutions, every Tuesday. You'll hear him tomorrow on the morning. Real quick, John, before we get you out of here, I thought I offended you. Carol Baskin killed her husband.
Who killed her husband?
You haven't seen Tiger King, have you?
No, I don't have Netflix, so I don't know. All I know is everything I've read is great, and when I get Netflix, I'm going to binge on it.
There we go.
Okay, John McLean, before we get you out of here, Beth Dutton from Yellowstone is a better character than Ruth Langmore from Ozarks.
Boy, that's two great actors. I've watched all. I know about Ozark. It's a great series. I can't wait to see it. I've seen every Yellowstone. I'm a big Kevin Costner fan. I would recommend people go back because the last two seasons were better than the first. So since it's Costner compared to Jason Bateman, I'll say yes.
There you go. John, we always appreciate you. Thank you so much for hopping on, sir.
Thank you guys very much. Wade, nice talking to you. Landry, hope you have great week. You guys stay safe.
There we go.
Appreciate it, John.
John McClain, presented by Horn Solutions. Deshaun Watson's candid words, the Astros' path to number two, and Carole Baskin, she's chosen a favorite NBA player. Tell you who it is next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Deshaun Watson sat down with Carmelo Anthony yesterday in the What's in Your Glass podcast. Probably the most candid version we've heard of Deshaun Watson in his 3+ years here in H-Town. Landry Locker, Wade Smith, Figgy Fig playing the hits here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Here's a little taste of what Deshaun had to say about the upcoming season, life without DeAndre Hopkins, but still that excitement that he has heading into his fourth year in the NFL.
I'm really looking forward to, man, just going out there and really just changing the game, taking my game to another level, especially with the new additions. I definitely was hurt when, you know, we let Hop go. That's my brother. That's my dog. That's part of the business, something that I couldn't control. But we got some new additions with Cooks, Cobb. You know, we got Kenny. We got David Johnson. So I'm real excited with some veteran, you know, teammates that played a lot of football and ready to just get out there and just turn it up.
He's learning firsthand of the business of sports and the business of the NFL. Even though he's the franchise quarterback, and a lot of times franchise quarterbacks get their way. In this case, you know, his number one guy, one of his best friends, got sent packing. And that's something that every rookie and every young NFL player figures out very early, that it's a business and guys are going to be let go that you don't need to be let go, but you're going to have to continue to be a professional and play at a high level in order for you to be a leader on the team. And so you're hearing Deshaun Watson kind of flesh that out and discuss it openly. And I think it's good, man. I think that he's understanding his role in the organization and understand that things are not going to always go the way he wants them to. But at the same time, he's excited about some of the new pieces that are coming into the fold. And that's important that he's excited about these new pieces, because those are going to be the guys that are going to help the Texans try to take that next step and make it to a Super Bowl.
Well, let's be honest, though. If he wasn't excited, he wouldn't say he wasn't. Like, it's not like he's going to come out and say, I lost DeAndre Hopkins. Damn, Brandon Cooks. Can he stay healthy? Randall Cobb. Like, I don't think he would come out and say he wasn't excited, right?
I don't think he would address the issue. I think he would stay away from those questions. If he had a problem, I think that Deshaun, if it was a situation where they didn't get Brandon Cooks and they didn't get Randall Cobb's guys that he knew had some chips on the, some pelts on the walls, I don't think he would have addressed the issue. Just be like, hey, you know, the coaches and the decision makers decide who's going to be here, and you know, it's my job to do this.
That's out of my pay
that's,
grade.
That's exactly how they would have handled
which
it.
Which is a weird thing to say when you're making 16, and I think you're making more than Bill.
Hey, it is weird, but it's the truth of the matter. They don't make those decisions, and if you're a franchise player and you don't like what's going on, that's usually how guys will address the situation. They won't say, I love the guys we have. They'll just be like, you know, we got some guys, and you know, but I'm going to do my job and I'm going to be a leader. You heard there was a safety on this team. Justin Reed said something similar about the other DBs, and we'll get into that later on today.
Yeah, we'll do the corners at 11. We'll get into the safeties tomorrow at noon. I mean noon, not 11. The other thing I think about Deshaun Watson is, as we hear the most candid version of him, is that he was willing to kind of call out Cal McNair and lay out his expectations for what he thinks. To me, when I hear that, first of all, I think that's a given. Cal McNair will speak to the guys when they first report, which could be as soon as July 20th. I look at that, and I also wonder, as this organizational structure, this controversial, polarizing organizational structure that the Texans have right now, if this continues and the old kick in the can down the street that Lopez talks about with Bill O'Brien. I mean, is Deshaun Watson going to be one of those guys who's just going to come out and say, I don't like the way this is going? Could we see Deshaun Watson, if he's willing to call out the owner? I mean, it goes without saying that if this continues, he's willing to call out the coach and the general manager, especially after he gets paid.
Yeah.
Once
he gets paid, a lot of that is going to come to light. But you got to understand that a guy that gets paid, you want to make sure he has the right mindset and the right mind frame so you can trust him to be in that role and not abuse his power and the leverage that he has. And Deshaun Watson strikes me as that type of guy that wouldn't abuse it and would have the best intentions all along in order to get whatever done when it comes to decision making within the organization. And so that's the trust factor that ownership and players have to have amongst one another to have huge deals like the one that Pat Mahomes just received.
Speaking of trying to get money, you look at Pat Mahomes and what he just got. You look at Lamar Jackson last year, Lamar Jackson, the MVP, Mahomes the previous year, record-setting extension for Pat Mahomes, $500 million. Here's Deshaun with Carmelo Anthony in the What's in Your Glass podcast talking about stacking up his game against guys like Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes.
I really just stay locked in on me. When I talk to him, when we, you know, train together, I learn what I can to try to apply it to my game. But I just stay focused on my craft and the people around me and being that servant leader and just building what I got to build to be able to stay at the top and with the elite. Of course, I see what they're doing, and I'm trying to make sure, you know, if they have a better game this week, I got to make sure that I got to be better than next week. And I try to, you know, compete with myself all the time and then also keep them in the back of my head that, you know what I'm saying, I feel like I'm the top quarterback. I feel like I'm the best guy in the league. And I got to have that confidence each and every day when I step on the field.
There it is. I mean, he thinks he's in that league. He has that confidence. You got two guys to compete with. I just wonder, man, because you can be confident, Wade, and you can feel that way. But if another year goes by and you see Pat Mahomes continue to stack up the milestones that matter most to a player, I mean, you played 12 years in the league, you know this, and he's winning Super Bowls and he's winning MVPs and Lamar's winning MVPs, I just wonder what I'm not going to say that Deshaun's confidence is going to diminish, but I mean, you're losing the battle. Like, let's be honest, right now, as great as Deshaun is, and it's not your fault. Like, it's not all your fault. A lot of times, you are a victim of your circumstance. And if Pat Mahomes gets to work with one of the best offensive minds of all time and Andy Reid, and he has weapons around him, he's obviously going to light things up a little bit more. If Lamar Jackson is able to do what he did, he's going to light it up. I mean, right now, I like Deshaun's confidence, but the harsh reality is he's losing that battle between those two guys.
Well, this is the thing, though. A lot of it goes into determining who's the MVP. You got to be the best player on the best team 9 out of 10 times in order to win that award. And so Deshaun Watson can have a hell of a season this year, and the Texans can go 10-6. And if you're the quarterback of a 10-6 team, that doesn't mean you're not going to be the MVP. I don't care what type of stat you put up, especially when you're competing against guys that are going to go 12-4, 13-3, because their overall team is just better. And so Deshaun Watson might not get upset with the idea that, hey, he might say, you know what, we're doing well offensively. We're going to put some more pieces together and trust to get it done on the defensive end. And so then you won't have any issues as far as that goes. But, yeah, I don't think he necessarily is going to lose confidence at all. He's an ultimate competitor. He knows what he can do. He's going to go out there and have a successful year as a quarterback. So he's just going to continue to try to compete and go back and forth with those top guys.
I mean, I think he's doing as much as he can. I mean, I think he can get better. I think he can see the field a little bit better. I think he's doing as much as he can, but it just does seem like he's not being maximized. And again, that's not his fault. It just doesn't feel like – don't you feel like there's some more meat on that bone when it comes to Deshaun Watson? Like when you watch the way Mahomes is used and the way that Lamar Jackson's used, obviously I don't want to take anything away from either one of those guys, and I don't even want to say that Deshaun would be on the same level as either one of those guys. That's incredibly disrespectful to just make that assumption. But I think that his level of personal success would be higher if he were in either one of those situations. I don't feel like that's a reach for me to make that assumption.
Yeah, for sure. If he played for the Kansas City Chiefs, he came into the league and they got drafted by the Chiefs, I think he'd be having more personal success and team success than what he's had here with the Houston Texans. What you have to hope is that Tim Kelly leans more on Deshaun Watson and they have a better rapport to where you can implement more of the things that are tailored directly for Deshaun Watson, as opposed to putting Deshaun Watson into the Bill O'Brien, New England Patriot type of offense. We'll see. We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, based off of the evidence, you don't have high hopes that they are going to go that route. But the fact that they made a change gives you hope that they might lean more on what Deshaun Watson is used to doing and maximizing his talents, using his legs more than what they've done in the past, and being a little bit more kind of direct and less adjustments on every single play. Let's call a play and run it. That's what you would hope to see.
Is that that game plan offense that I'm hearing? Is that the game plan offense I'm hearing?
You know that's what it is. You know that's what it is, and that is what is going to be. That is the calling card for the Houston Texans. That was a calling card for the New England Patriots. I'd be interested to see if the New England Patriots have that same calling card with Cam Newton, the quarterback. I highly doubt it. And if that's the case, then I would hope that somebody around here would look and say, you know what, maybe this is not the end-all, be-all. Maybe that is Tom Brady's deal. Tom was the one that was able to maximize this and win a bunch of Super Bowls doing it this way, but everybody might not be able to do it that way. And so, like I said, I would hope that they would steer away from that. You can have that as a meat, but you need some potatoes, you need some vegetables, you need some cornbread, you need a lot of other stuff to go with it in order for you to be maximize what you can get out of your offense.
I just don't see how people and I'm not trying to like the guys who leave New England, like the O'Briens and I guess McDaniels left for a little bit. I don't see how they can point to that and say that's the system. It's Tom Brady. It's two decades of Tom Brady. It didn't look the exact same with Matt Castle. It didn't look the same with Jacoby Brissett. When Josh McDaniels went to Denver, it didn't look the same with Kyle Orton. Like, I just don't know how you can do that. Like, let's be honest. If you're just an average Joe, and let's say you're comparing yourself to, like, your most successful friend, the one who's a multi-million dollar partner at a firm or whatever, and he's living the great life and stuff. If you always try to, like, be that guy, it's not going to work out for you. Like, when you try to duplicate what Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have done, it's silly, and I don't see how you can even call that a system. That's Tom Brady. It's not going to look the same with Cam Newton.
At the end of the day, you got to be you. You got to figure out what you do best and maximize that. And that's what you hope that the Texans over these past few years have figured out. All right, we need to figure out what makes Deshaun Watson the best quarterback he can be. And then utilize that going forward.
But you hear Clint Sterner talk about this all the time, and it's the square peg, round hole. And a lot of times you see Deshaun Watson, and it almost seems like they're trying to make him read stuff at the line. There's not enough zone read. It doesn't look a lot like it did at Clemson. Sometimes there's RPOs, sometimes there's not. Like, I really think that when we talk about localizing, we talk about connecting moves, what New England's offense looks like with Cam Newton this year is actually can directly compare that to what Deshaun Watson looks like with Bill O'Brien compared to previous years. Because if all of a sudden Josh McDaniels, who's run that system at a higher level than Bill O'Brien and has been doing it for a long time with Tom Brady, if all of a sudden Cam Newton's running zone reads, all I'm seeing is RPOs, all I'm seeing is quarterback design runs and all that, that's frustrating, Wade. That's frustrating because that's the ultimate example of that system and someone else that has a different skill set. Why am I getting so frustrated? I don't know, because I'm already sensing that I'm going to watch the freaking Patriots.
That's what it's
going
to be.
And Cam Newton's going to look somewhat like he did his MVP, and it's going to drive me freaking crazy.
Listen, they're gonna truncate that offense. They're gonna minimize it and make it to where it's palatable by Cam Newton, to where they can have their option routes on, you know, a handful of plays, but they're going to maximize and doing zone reads. It's going to look very similar to the way it looked when Jacoby Brissett was a quarterback when he came in. That's what it's going to look like. But Cam Newton is a better player than Jacoby Brissett. And so that's why the Patriots are back into the mix. And Josh McDaniels, like you mentioned, he's gone elsewhere and done it differently. You know what I mean? Not everybody has to follow what they did in places before. If you're versatile enough, you'll be able to adjust to who you have around you. And the fact that Tim Kelly is now the one calling the plays, that's what you have to kind of rest your hat on, is this is what's going to be the difference maker in this scenario. And I see the face that you're making. It doesn't exude a lot of confidence, bro. But I will say this.
I'm scared, bro.
The offense hasn't been bad. It hasn't been nowhere near as good as it should be, but Wade, it hasn't been bad.
Wade.
The offense hasn't been bad.
Wade.
When has the offense been bad, Landry?
Well,
there's a difference between having a bad offense and not maximizing the talent you have on your roster.
Which is a problem.
And it's a significant problem. That's what you need to do to get over the hump.
The problem with me, and I think the two-year comparison that I always use is from 2018 to 2019, when you traded two firsts and a second for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. When you traded a third rounder for Duke Johnson. When you drafted an offensive lineman in the first round. You drafted an offensive lineman in the second round. You did all that to the offense, traded for Carlos Hyde, and you averaged the exact same amount of yards, 1.5 less points, exact same amount of passing yards, one less rushing yard, and third down was the only thing that improved. That's the problem to me.
It is a problem if you want to progress and get over that hump and not be 10-6.
Of course I do.
And that's what I'm saying, but it's not bad. So that's the problem that you have. You have an offense that isn't bad. It's good enough to win you a division, but it's not good enough to win you a championship. And they have to figure out the difference to get you from point A to point B. Let's get you from 10-6 and winning a division to being good enough to win a championship. And so the only thing you can hope on based off of the moves they made is, all right, you got Tim Kelly calling the plays now. All right, Deshaun Watson is coming into his own more now. He's going to be more aggressive. He's going to be more mature. He's going to be like, I want to do it this way. We discussed the interview that he's had with Carmelo, and so you've seen him kind of flexing his muscles a little bit more. Hopefully that translates into the meeting room and translates to actual plays on the field. Because besides that, there's not much you can rest on. You can't trust that they're going to utilize all of this talent they have at the receiver position, at the running back position, at the tight end position, that they're going to utilize it and get the most out of them. There's no evidence that says that's going to happen. They are all there. You have all these players on the roster. They're there.
It's hard for me to imagine.
The offensive line is going to be better.
Tim Kelly's been in that building the whole time that Bill O'Brien's been there.
Yeah.
He's been there the whole time. Started out as a grad assistant for him. Like, it'd be one thing if, just like Josh McDaniels did this year, or not Josh McDaniels, Sean McVay out there in Los Angeles. They brought in an offensive coordinator he's never even worked with. And it's a new philosophy. And this is a guy who was regarded as one of the best offensive minds. He brings it in.
But they weren't as good, though.
They weren't as good, though. No.
They took a step back.
They had a bad year last year, but...
That's more on golf, though.
But the point is, like, this guy's been there the whole time. So if he had all these great ideas, did Bill O'Brien just all of a sudden wake up one day and say, you know what? I've been tripping. I got to trust this guy. Like, did that happen? Or is it just one thing? You think that's what happened?
It had to have been what happened.
Nah, you hope that's what happened. You don't think that's what happened.
Why would he give it up?
Why would he give it up? Just because. Nobody does anything because
he
didn't want to bring in anyone else. Bring in someone new.
The word going on around there is that Tim Kelly would put something together during the week. Then towards the end of the week, there's changes. And it was constant change.
So what's going to stop that from happening now?
Nothing's going to stop. It's Bill O'Brien saying, letting things go. But the fact of the matter is Tim Kelly's calling the plays now. Bill O'Brien has to use self-assessment and realize this is what I need to do to help us get better. So he's got to take a step back and just be the boss. Just be the main guy and delegate to your guys.
Be
and
more like John Harbaugh.
Yeah. And that's exactly what he needs to do. Let them do their job. And if he does that, that's something that I think can help the offense be better. Okay. And at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for. Can the team get better than what it was?
It's got to be more and better.
It's got to be better than it was.
I mean, you invested even more this offseason. It's got to be really, really, really good.
You're right.
Really good.
It better be damn good. It better be damn good.
I want to hear top 10. I want to hear top five.
Top five. You're saying a lot now.
Well, I mean, when you invest that much on offense, I mean, my goodness, give me something. Let's go to Pavetex. Pavetex, what the hell do you want?
What's up, big homie? What's up, Wade? What's up, Landlock? Hey, Landlock, I like to hear that nervousness in your voice. I'm glad I didn't call in and say that what you just said about Cam Newton and them Patriots. What's going to happen is Cam Newton is hungry. That guy is hungry. And he's going to make, just like Brady made Belichick look good, he's going to make them shine. That guy is going to come in with some fire, and he's going to make them shine, and they don't care about the money, man. He already got money. So you're right. And, Wade, we all know Bill O'Brien is not letting nothing go, just like Frozen said. Let it go. Let it go. Bill O'Brien ain't letting nothing go but players. That's all he's letting go, real players. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm out. I holla.
That hurt my heart, dog.
All stat guys.
Damn fool.
That hurt my heart. He ain't let nothing go but the players. No. Damn,
that's tough. Playing the hits here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Astros schedule came out. Some 8-10 starts, 4 national TV games, only 8 games outside of Texas and California. We'll hear from some of the Stros as the show continues. Rockets also looking to return to the courts. There's a new format, a play-in game, if you will. Seems like the NBA wants Zion Williamson in the playoffs. Let's just be honest. And Zion Williamson got a surprising supporter yesterday. Carole Baskin from the Tiger King. She's doing the cameo hits like Antonio Brown did. And she had a message for Zion.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carole Baskin at Big Cat Rescue. And our guy Zion is turning 20 years old. The cool cats and kittens at Overtime have loved watching you play and grow over the years and can't wait to watch you dunk on everybody in Orlando. We're always rooting for the coolest cat around, and that's Big Z. Stay cool.
She is scary.
She's got the creepiest voice out there right now. I don't want her to say my name. If I'm Zion, I'm like, hey, cease and desist. Don't mention me. Like, I don't want anywhere anything to be associated with you at all. That voice is creepy as hell.
I would not be able to sleep. Landry Locker, Wade Smith, Figgy Fig with you, OG out right now here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Part two of the In the Loop position series. Cause for concern. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit scared about the next topic, the cornerback position. I'm terrified. We'll see if Wade is as well. Part two of the position series next.
I'm making plays, bro.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.